Ready, 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 ready. Vande Guru Paradvandam Bhakta Vrinda Samanvitam Sri Chaitanya Prabham Vande Nityananda Saholitam Sri Nandanandanam Vande Radhika Charana Dvayam Gopi Jana Samayuktam Vrindavana Manoharam Amala Kamala Raji Sparshivata Prashite Nija Sarasini Dage Sayamalasaniyam Parijana Yukta Kriyanti Pakarim Snapyati Nija Dasye Radhika Mam Kadanu. Today is October 19th, 2014, and we're discussing the 16 sevas of the glorious sevas of Srimati Radharani. And what? Oh, today's the 20th. Oh, really? I don't have a good idea. I know the 24th is Giraj Anukut. And there's no class that day, by the way. So please tell anyone maybe not here that comes regularly. I'll make a sign on the door tomorrow. But no class that day because we have our Giraj Shila, and that's his day. It's his birthday or whatever. So we have a big party for him and many people coming to serve him and then do parikrama in the late afternoon or midnight or whatever, I don't know. A little slow getting organized, these people. But. So we're discussing about rebuking Upalamba. And I had a mention earlier in classes about there's different sakis that are in Nitya Leela, and their Siddha Sarups, their expertise is mocking Krishna, criticizing Krishna, insulting Krishna. Now, if anyone here in the material world, if they mock God or they insult God, just like you've heard of Hiranyakashipu and the Sringa Bhagavan, the fourth avatar of Vishnu in this of these Das avatars, and he was mocking his son and his son's Ishtadevis. Prahlad, where is your God? I am God. All the demigods have run in fear of me. Even Vishnu is hiding in everyone's hearts. He's afraid to come out and fight me. And Brahma's hiding. Indra's hiding. Where is this God? And then Prahlad said in his five-year-old voice, Father, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. Is he in this column? Is he in this stamba, in this column? He said, yes, certainly. I see him there. And that moment, the acharyas say, when he has the faith that God is everywhere, yamam pashati sarvatra, sarvam chamayi pashati, that the bhakta has pashati, bhagavan pashati, subdig, in all directions he can see the manifestation, the appearance of his ishtadeva, bhagavan. So at that moment, Acharya say, when he looked at the stamba, Prahlad saw Nisringadev smiling at him. That form of Nisringa is called Shant, Shant Nisringa. And he had four arms and looked like Vishnu with his lion's head, very beautiful. And Prahlad looked and he said, is he in this column? Hiranyakashipu said, is he in this column? And Prahlad looked and then he said, and he saw that Nisringa was looking at him, smiling. He said, yes, Father, he's really there. Oh, really, he's there? What a fool you are, you stupid little child. Well, let's see what he can do. So his own palace was his own jeweled inlaid pillar. And the guy was so furious in his mocking of the Lord that he chopped the pillar and it smashed. And out came Nisringadev Narahari Bhagavan. And you know the rest of the story of how he didn't have much more to say about the non-existence of God. So this is, in this world, if someone mocks or criticizes Bhagavan or insults him, they may have a dire result. They may die. And something may fall on their head like a lightning bolt or whatever from above. But in the spiritual world, what is, it's upside down. Not really exactly upside down, but what is bad here is good there. What is good here is bad there. So here it's bad to insult and to mock and to criticize. But in Krishna's land, he loves it. Not in Dwarka. Not in Mathura. Only in Brajadam. Krishna likes to hear the sound of the parrots cooing and the peacocks meowing. Wow, wow. And so let's hear about these wonderful gopis who are, they chop up Bhagavan with their words. Sometimes they say that, anyway, we'll forget that one. Tindaka Devi, Nirvitandika Devi, Pundarik Devi, Sitkandi Devi, Charochandi, and each one, why they have the name Charochandi? Because Chandi is a name for Durga. And it's a ferocious form of Durga that annihilates the demons, goddess Chandi. But then Charu means very charming and beautiful. So this is the name of one gopi. She's very charming and beautiful, but she is as ferocious as Durga. And then that's her, she's this, each one of these is listed in a long list here, and then in a smaller list of specifically why. Sudantika Devi, she has Sudantika. She has beautiful smile and beautiful teeth. It's like we have so many friends, but some of them may have, you know, beautiful teeth or a beautiful smile, and they're noteworthy for that. Photographic smile. So Sudantika Gopi or Devi, she has a photographic smile. Akuntita Devi, Kalakanti Devi, means she has a very good voice. Kanti means her throat, and Kala means she has she's an artistic singer. Ramachi Devi, Mechika Devi. They are among a group of gopis who are very strong and stubborn when there is an argument or conflict. Among them, Pindaka Devi is the leader. She dresses in red garments. That is very good because red is a good color when you want to get angry. She is very beautiful. When Lord Krishna comes, she deliberately embarrasses Krishna by attacking him. Attacking him. Aranyakashipu attacked him, but he was finished. But these gopis, they can attack Krishna with their words and get away with it. He loves it. So she attacks Krishna with many ferocious, witty puns. And then there's Pundarika Devi. Her garments and her complexion are both the color of a white lotus flower. So there are golden ladies there. There are reddish ladies and bluish, all different colors of skin tone for the gopis and gopis. And there are also Krishna's white girlfriends also, like a white lotus. And what does she do? It says here that she it's interesting. Her name is Pundarika, and Krishna's name is Pundarik Aksham. Om apavitra pavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva yaksmarit Pundarik Aksham sabayabhyantara suchi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. This is a Nachman mantra that's often chanted before a diksha function. Om apavitra pavitrava. So they're Pundarik Aksha. Aksha means eye, and Pundarik is the name of a white lotus flower which blossoms in midnight. Most lotus flowers blossom in the day, but this lotus flower blossoms in the night, Pundarik. So Krishna is compared, his eyes are like white lotus flowers, the corners of his eyes. So he's Pundarik Aksha and she's Pundarika. So in one corner of the boxing ring, there's Pundarika. And the other corner is Pundarikaksha. So what does she do? She tarjet Pundarikaksham agasi. She offensively Her service, what is her seva? This is her nitya seva. Your nitya seva may be chamara seva, or grinding chandan, or preparing kajal, or making garlands, or many things, taking vastra seva, taking care of Radharani's garments, washing them, dry cleaning them. No. Washing them and ironing them, or dyeing them, or designing them, all things to do with her vastra. And so there's so many subdivisions of any one of the 16 sevas, as we mentioned earlier. So she criticizes, she offensively criticizes Krishna. It says offensively, Agassi. She ferociously mocks lotus-eyed Krishna. Is that Shukshmadi, or is that Kalokti? There's one parrot named Kalokti. It's very artistic. Ukti, speech, Kalokti. Now there's Manju Bhashini, her Bhasha, her language is very charming, Manju. And then there's Daksha, a male parrot who's Daksha, very expert at witty Sanskrit puns in the Kunjas, Daksha. Then there's Sukshmadi. Sukshmadi means she has very fine, and this is a female parrot of Radharani, Sukshmadi. She has very fine and discriminating intelligence, D, Sukshma. The subtleties. She's very expert at speaking subtleties and innuendos in Sanskrit. So which one is it? Or Kalokti, Manjubhashini, Daksha, and there's other ones too. Suchakshana, Vichakshana. Vichakshana. I don't know if that comes in the recording. Does the parrot's voice come there? That's nice. To be able to watch a YouTube movie in China and hear the parrots in Vrindavan. Nice. Very valuable. So this is Gauri Devi. Gauri is another name for Durga. She wears white garments. Her complexion is the color of a peacock. So one gopi is white like a lotus, another has the color of a peacock. I mean, blue and iridescent blue and purple and green. I don't know what's what, but what? Because peacock has many colors. Under its wing, it's brown, and its tail is green and blue. And so what color is, how do you say, color of a peacock? Her complexion. You have to get there and see her to find out. And her sweet and charming words, madriyat, are often laced with harshness and acrid sarcasms. Krishna has a nickname for her, for this gopi, because this gopi is always speaking very, sometimes charmingly and very attractively and pleasingly, sweetly. And other times she's sarcastic and acridly, very harsh, it says here. Katin in Hindi means like thorny. Katin means thorn, no? No, like a needle, a thorn. So katin means hard and harsh. So katinya, sometimes she speaks very hard and harshly. So what nickname did Krishna give her? Sita Kandi. And Sita Kandi is the name of a sweet. It's like a hard sweet like that you suck on, like a cough drop or something. Shitkandi. Sita Kandi says, oh, he sees her. Oh, there's Sita Kandi. So she's always cutting Krishna with harsh sarcasms. Because sarcasms, we say in America, sarcasm is the worst form of humor. It's the worst form of humor because it's intermixed with criticism. It's an indirect way to criticize someone. Sarcasm. So she's like that with acrid sarcasms. And Krishna calls her, oh, here comes that sweet talker. Here comes Sita Kandi. Very Krishna's not less in the speaking qualities. Now let's hear more about these gopis. That they would fit right in. They would fit very nicely in Kali Yuga. Harsh words, acrid sarcasms, ferocious witty puns, ferociously mocking. Sounds like our friends, doesn't it? They speak sarcastically to us. They sometimes mock us. So now, let's see who else is in the lineup here. Akuntita Devi's complexion is the color of a lotus stem. What color is that? Green. So one is white complexion, one is green, one is peacock. One is lightning gold, white, one is dark yellow gold, one is copper gold. It's called Raktagor, it means reddish gold like copper, but brilliant copper tone, copper tone. That's quite a variety there, no doubt. She wears garments the colors of the fibers within a lotus stem, which means whitish green. What does she like to do? What is her speciality? She likes to insult Krishna for the amusement of her gopi friends. So all the gopis under her direction, they get an opportunity to laugh at Krishna. Krishna becomes a laughing stock of the gopis. And of course, they have a phrase in management. People like it when you laugh with them, but not when you laugh at them. There's a principle of management for leaders. Leaders should know that their followers or their shishya, followers like to laugh with their leaders, but they don't like their leaders to laugh at them. Oh, you stupid, look what you did. Because when someone laughs at you, it's insulting. In other words, in English, we have a phrase in slang that says, the joke's on you. Have you ever heard this? The joke is on you. Ha ha, you stupid, look what you did. You slipped on a banana peel and hurt your knee. Ha ha. That's rather cruel. But people they think it's funny. So she insults Krishna for the amusement. It says that she, aga, for the benefit, samriddhi means wealth, riddhi. So for the wealth of her samaj, sakhi samaj, for her sakhi samaj, samriddhi, to increase the wealth and joy and happiness of her samaj, her group of sakhis. What does she do? She offends Krishna. It says offends, and it's translated, she likes to insult. And then, let's not forget, Ramachi Devi, she's the daughter of Lalita Devi's Datri, which means nurse. Ramachi's complexion is golden, and her garments are the color of a parrot. So that's very nice. She has parrot green, she's a very brightly dressed gopi, parrot green. Gauri, her complexion is gauri, and shuka amshuka means a very beautiful description by Rupa Goswami in his book of Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika. He's saying shuka amshuka, her garments amshuka are like shuka, green like a parrot, very brilliant and very attractive. She takes pleasure in jokingly insulting Krishna and laughing at him. So it's durva vachobi means bad speech. Durva vacha, like we say, Sri Bhagavan uvacha, Bhagavan said. So dura means bad. Bad speech, bad words, so it becomes insults. So she and she laughs at Krishna. Hasyate. Duravachobir parihasate. Not only hasate, but parihasate means from all different sides and all different ways. Hasyate means, okay, I'm laughing at you. But parihasate means from all different directions and all different ways, laughing at someone and finding newer and newer ways. So these are examples of not exactly rebuking and scolding exactly on that point, but no one likes to be criticized, no one likes to be scolded or rebuked. So no one likes to be insulted and mocked and made fun of and laughed at and all these things. But Krishna, all these things he likes, they're all done for Krishna's pleasure. Although the verse says for the samriddhi, or for the pleasure of her sakis, or happiness of her sakis, then the particular gopi who sevas this, she does this. She mocks Krishna, she insults Krishna, she offends Krishna, she speaks bad speech to him, she gets all the gopis to laugh at Krishna. And everyone thinks that that must be their great joy. But the one who's enjoying the most in the whole exchange is Krishna. And the reason they have all these variegated presentations and all these spicy speeches and interesting ways of speaking to Krishna is because they know he likes it. He's not a boring person like all of us. We can't bear mocking. We can't bear insults. We can't bear if someone laughs at us. We can't bear sarcasm. We don't want to be the butt of jokes. We have a long list of no's and don't do's. Don't do this with me and don't do this to me. A long list. A very short list of what you can do with me or do to me. You can smile at me, you can tell me I'm great, and you can give me lots of mahaprasadam. These three things. But anything else is slightly negative, then you're on my blacklist. Persona non grata. We don't like you. But Krishna, he has thousands of things that no one would ever want to have happen to him. And once in their life, to be insulted and mocked and laughed. Sometimes if someone insults you or mocks you, you remember it for your whole life. You cancel that person from your friend list and kick them off your Facebook and or whatever. And then you don't want to see them because they insulted you, they mocked you. And someone says, oh, you know, I made friends with someone. Oh, this person I don't like. And everyone you see, you'll tell how they're no good. Because they insulted you once in 99 years. This is us. But Krishna every day is getting this. One side they're rebuking him, another side they're scolding him, another side they're mocking. He turns this way. You nonsense. You this, that. Oh, nectar in all directions. Nectar from above, below, everywhere. Nectar is falling on my ears and head. More, more. Aniyor, aniyor. More insults, more mocking, more sarcasm. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Pad, he says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, someone praises you and glorifies you, he's your worst enemy. He's your worst enemy as a devotee. But if someone points out your faults or your limitations or your problems, he's your best friend. Of course, it's done in a loving way like your mother would do. A mother does everything, even the most bitter pill. You can swallow the most bitter pill if it's given to you by your mother. Because that pill is coated with her intense affection, love and care for you. Although she may give you some hard words or heavy instructions or even a slap or two. But the backing of the whole thing is her deep love and affection and unlimited attachment for you, her loving son or daughter. But a friend or temple commander or some other person, they may not exactly be like that Bengali grandmother that Prabhupada talked about. He said that a preacher in the field, there's two qualities of a pracharak, according to my Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. He said a pracharak should have dogun, two qualities. One, he should have the courage and the cleverness of a British officer, army officer. They're very courageous and clever. And he should have the heart of a Bengali grandmother. Now, what that means, I'm not sure. I don't have any Bengali grandmothers nearby to study, but Prabhupada did, and he knows what that means, and everybody in India, I guess, knows what that idea is. In other words, it's like this. in the field, when you're dealing with people and preaching Krishna Katha or giving pravachan or saptaha or classes or distributing books or whatever, you have to be courageous and determined. Courageous, determined, resourceful, clever, intelligent, of course, compassionate. But then you have to be loving. It must be all backed by the care and compassion and tenderness and love of a grandmother, what a grandmother must be. She really loves her grandchildren more than the mother. This is the tradition. Generally, if you're not getting any luck with your mother and father, then go to your grandmother and grandfather. Luck means Lakshmi. Luck also means Lakshmi. If the mother says, no, I won't give you any money for that, say, oh, grandma, can I have some money? What for? I wanted to go to India. Yeah, take the money. So, mom, I'm going to India. Huh? How you got the money? Grandma. So then, this is the point. So these ladies are very nice. They do wonderful service to Krishna. So if anyone has some of these qualities, they can certainly have a lot of engagement in the spiritual world, mocking and insulting God. But first you have to get there to render your valuable service. And if you want to get there, then you have to be free from greed, anger, lust, envy, and all kinds of offensive speech and behavior and actions and thoughts and deeds, and be totally pure in your heart and mind and full of Krishna, Bhava, and praying. Then you can get there and insult Krishna for his pleasure and mock and criticize him. So this is an amazing, unbelievably amazing and unique contribution of Rupa Goswami Pad to show us, give us a satellite picture view of Mars. Not Mars, but Goloka Dham, Braja Gokul. You can read the Bible top to bottom, inside and out, Old Testament, New Testament. You can read every single theological book in Western theology. You won't find any of this 5-minute talk that I just gave. None of it. This is only one drop of the variegatedness and infinite variety of exchanges of love and rasa and feelings in the spiritual world with God, Krishna, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, and Vrindavan, and his devotees. That's why Vrindavan is called Madhurya Dham. It's a Lokik Dham, the transcendental realm. It's so sweet, so intimate, so personal. God is very near. God is within your arms, embracing you. He's looking at you eye to eye. He puts his ear to your mouth and you whisper to him and you speak to him. That's how close the bhaktas come with God in the Krishna Prema Sambandha. But in Vaikuntha or Dwarka or what to speak of, heaven or whatever Christian concept of liberation is, God is far away, far away. Read the Bible, read it deeply. Insulting God, mocking God, criticizing God. It expands our pea brains into infinite directions and proportions. And you have to try to accommodate it. One great acharya said, Trying to understand Bhagavan Sri Krishna, his beauty, his variegatedness, the depth of his love, and the depth and extent of his loving exchanges with his devotees, trying to understand Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Rasaraj Sri Krishna, is like trying to accommodate an elephant on a tali. In English, the person spoke English, he said, a saucer. A saucer is a small tali or small china plate you put under your little teacup. Teacup and saucer. Some British thing. But it means a little tali. The plate is this big. And the elephant weighs 2,000 kilos. And he's huge. I mean, he can't even put his fingernail on the tali. And if he sits on it, you'll never see the tali again. It'll be like gone, invisible, melted, destroyed. So trying to accommodate means to sit, to fit, to understand. Trying to accommodate an elephant on a tali is like trying to fit God in our brain. With this little tiny brain, understand God, and especially Krishna. Brahma has four of these. 1, 2, 3, 4. Chaturmukh, if you have four faces, it means you have four heads. He has four, Chaturmukh, four-faced Brahma. We know people with two faces. Some people have one head and two faces. But nobody has one head and four faces. I never heard, hey, he's four-faced. No, we say, he's two-faced. Oh, it's nice to see you, Prabhu. Then you go, he leaves you, and says, you know, that devotee, he says this, that, this, that. That's called two-faced. One face in front, I like you, you're my best friend, and the other face, I can't stand you, oh, I'd like to destroy you. Two-faced. Brahma has four faces, and they're all looking towards Krishna. And with four brains and four heads, he's trying to understand Krishna. What did he say? Jnane prayasam urupasyanamante eva. In Brahma Stuti in chapter 14 of Bhagavatam, 10th canto, he said, Jnane prayasam, with all the knowledge I have, and all the, I'm the top of the universe in Satyaloka, I'm seeing the whole universe. I'm the creator of everything, secondary creator on behalf of Vishnu. And I have a lot of knowledge. I put this whole thing in, I got this whole universe going. And I can't understand this little tiny boy running along the Yamuna with a group of coward boys and some calves. He's only 5 years old, because at the age of six is Gopastami. Gopastami is coming in maybe 12 days or so, 8 days after Amavasya. It's Astami. So Gopastami, when Krishna turns 6 years old from his Balya, you know, the Poganda, then Nanda Baba said, oh, you're a big boy now, you can take out cows. Like, you see these little kids, they're this big, and they take out these 1,000 kilo buffaloes, and they have a little stick, dot, dot, go, go. But somehow when they turn 6 years old, they have lots of confidence and lots of conviction that, yes, I'm powerful. I mean, if that buffalo just goes like that, the boy goes to Mars. Goes flying up in the sky, and where he lands, I don't know. But he has that idea. So Krishna wasn't even six when Brahma came and stole all the calves, the vatsas, and all the coward boyfriends. So, and then, of course, he got completely bewildered, Vimohan, Brahma, Vimohan, Leela, and the Bhagavatam. So he couldn't understand. So this, we hear about this, and we're amazed. We're amazed and awed. But it's attractive and it's sweet, because it's our sweet, that same Lord that plays the flute and chases the birds and mocks the monkeys. He has all these multifaceted layers in his consciousness and his relationships. So he makes Krishna Sankarshan. Krishna. Krishna means Karshan. Makes Krishna attractive. Sang means completely, all attractive. This is Krishna. All this variegatedness. So we're describing in Ujjvala Nilamani about some of these, I'm not sure if we finished all this scolding of Krishna. I think it was, we heard that Krishna got scolded, and I think today now it's Radharani's turn. Yesterday was Krishna's turn, and Krishna got scolded and rebuked by Lalita Sakhi. So Radharani is not spared. Lalita doesn't spare Radharani either. So now, today, Lalita is going to criticize and scold Radhika. Sakya Upalambo. Vipakshe dakshinyam pranayasi param kele kutuke. Mukunde naram arabde kalayasi pritam vepatu param. Mudayava yasyanti sahachari sada mandana kalam. Kuto mogdhyena tvam samayam anabhigye gamayasi. O Sakhi, although you are trembling with eagerness to go and enjoy amorous pastimes with Mukunda, you are nevertheless showing friendly behavior and attitude to your enemies, the rival party of Vipaksha Gopis. Therefore, your attempt to skillfully decorate yourself is useless. O ignorant woman, this is Lalita, speaking to Radharani, "Oh, ignorant woman, why are you wasting your time in such gentle dealings with the anti-party, with your enemies?" So why did Lita speak like this? Because just before Radharani started getting dressed for her abhisar to go out to meet Krishna, she bumped into some of the Padma. Padma, what Lalita Sakhi is to Radha, Padma Sakhi is to Chandravali. She's her leading Sakhi. So she's also a little rough, and so Lalita and Padma make a good team. So Lalita was with Radha, and they were moving on the footpath, and they met Padma. And at that time, Radharani was very respectful to Padma, as we might be. We might meet some well-known enemy, clear-cut enemy of ours, if we happen to have enemies. We may meet that man or woman somewhere. We say, "Hello, how are you? Oh, Hare Krishna." You know, they don't like you, and you don't like them. But in the name of social dealings and sociability, Hare Krishna, yeah, Hare Krishna. I often have that experience. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. And they say it so sweetly and so nicely, and it's well known to me and many others that this particular person is public enemy number one, at least to me. And but then, "Oh, Maharaj, Hare Krishna, how are you?" "Radhe, Radhe." That's my friendly reply, because I'm not so much social. So I don't say it as I would ordinarily say "Radhe, Radhe." In my intonation of my two words, "Radhe, Radhe," like, "No, now what?" No. So then he may say something, and I just go like this and then walk away. Anyway, but everyone has their own way of dealing with things. So Radharani could not tolerate watching Radharani speaking sweet words to Padma Sakhi, the Vipaksha anti-party rival, when they accidentally met each other on the footpath. So later, when Radharani was decorating herself back in Yavat, later in the evening, decorating herself very beautifully and attractively, stringing pearl necklaces on her neck and looking very attractive to go meet her Shyam Sundar Priyatam, Lalita took the opportunity to scold Radharani. And since we're talking about managing devotees or the principles of management, they say praise in public, scold and criticize, and correct in private. So there's a group of devotees in the prasadam room and someone is doing some obvious nonsense, and the leader comes there and he sees it, but to save the face and prestige and heart of that devotee, then he notes it and keeps quiet. Then sometime later, next day, whatever, later that evening or whatever, he calls that devotee to his office privately and says a few interesting words to try to remind him that of his improper behavior and inspire him to act in a better fashion. So this is called sensitive, caring leadership, which any good leader, of course, follows these principles. So Lita is not less. She's the leader of all the gopis and leader of all the sakhis and mandris. So she's alone with Radha, and Lalita says, "Radha, what conduct of love are you considering? If you recognize your rival party, and they should be condemned, but when you meet your rivals and enemies, instead of condemning them, you give them respect. Don't you realize that by doing that, you lower your position? How can you maintain your superiority by this action? And furthermore, if you give up your verbal and bodily pragalba nature, which means contrary, argumentative, hot-headed. In other words, then she's saying, I just saw you on the footpath. You were very docile and very submissive and sweet speech. And you were like that with Padma, who's your enemy. Then how tonight, when you meet with Krishna, will you be able to exhibit a contrary mood or an arguing mood, which will increase his loving attraction? Because already you're showing such a humble demeanor. So Lalita is saying, if you give up your pragalba contrary nature, and when you, which is suitable for amorous interactions with Krishna, and then when he, as soon as he just touches your hand, if you start trembling just by the touch of his hand, how can your deeper pastimes take place with Krishna if already you're being affected? You have to be like, oh, he touches your hand and he's, oh, I'm not interested. You know, that's the contrary mood. And Krishna says, oh, I tried it in the very initial moments of intimate affairs. Then Krishna may touch Radharani's hand in a very tender way, gentle, loving way. And then if she's very, oh, starts trembling, oh, I feel so excited. And then he thinks, oh, she's very submissive today, very respectful. This will be a very boring evening. So Lita says, what is this? You know, you have to play hard to get and be contrary. Then that'll, Krishna will be, oh, what do I have to do? This is, then you have the controlling position in the upper hand. I mean, Lalita wants it always that way. She doesn't want Radharani to be some Trinadapi Suni Chena, you know, humble servant. Krishna should be Trinadapi, but, you know, humble and submissive, but not Radharani. Because that's her nature, and she wants her student to have the same nature. Therefore, you're uselessly decorating your body. If you distance yourself from your own excellent qualities by showing respect to inferior people like your rivals, what is your plan for the evening? Oh, you ignorant woman. So then Vishwanath says that actually this is called Vyaja Stuti. Stuti means censure, conveying the opposite. It appears that Lalita is checking or scolding Radharani. But actually, by this talk, she's revealing the supreme position of Radharani. So this is the last entry in Ujjwala Nilamani about this rebuking. But I saw in Chaitanya Charitamrita there's also some more scolding and rebuking, because this is the age of Kali, Yuga. It's called the age of quarrel, vivad, argumentation and quarreling. So this is a very interesting subject, to know that there's lots of quarreling and arguing and scolding going up there, and there's actually a pure form of it all. Here are all of our quarreling and arguing and bickering, and it's all full of greed and envy, and it's all very dark and low and not very pleasing to either party, ultimately. If you get angry with someone, get very angry and scold them and chastise them, they feel very bad. The object, the person who receives your scolding and rebuking, but you also feel very bad. Your mind gets all heated up, you sweat a lot, can't digest your food, you may have diarrhea a few hours later because your stomach gets so overheated. Because anger is not healthy for the human body. Laughing is good. Laughing is healthy, but anger, so laughter is one feature, happiness, sadness, so anger is debilitating to both parties. But in the spiritual world, anger, insulting, mocking, criticizing, chastising, ridiculing, scolding, it's good for both. The gopis feel great about it. It's their seva because they know it's pleasing Krishna. So if Krishna's pleased, if you're happy, I'm happy. My goal is to make you happy, and my happiness is automatically guaranteed because we're one in heart. Your heart is my heart, and my heart is your heart. You are my Prananath, and I am your Pranishwari. You're my Prananath, and I am your Pranishwari. Radha looks at Krishna and says, "You're my Prananath." Then Krishna looks at Radharani and said, "You're my Praneshwari." So one is the Lord, Krishna is the Lord of Radharani's pran, and Radha is the queen or the mistress of Krishna's pran. So that means one in heart. It's like Ekatma Dui Deha, they say in Hindi love songs. Ekatma Do Sharir. So man and woman are like one atma, but two bodies. So that's not possible here, but there in the spiritual world. So all of the loving devotees of the Lord, all the gopis and gopas, elderly and young, they're all one in heart with Krishna and one in mind, and their whole bodies exist for the pleasure of Krishna. So there, and really there, they can say we're one in heart with Krishna, one in atma, and also one in body, because our bodies are fully dedicated and surrendered and submitted and sacrificed for the pleasure and happiness and satisfaction of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So there, all scolding makes Krishna feel very happy and very joyful. And scolding and ridiculing and arguing and fighting and whatever these verbal abuses that go on there, Krishna enjoys to the maximum. And the person, the gopi who unleashes that volley, the gopi who unleashes that machine gun volley of insults and criticisms and sarcasm, she feels great. She feels so happy. Why? Because it gives Krishna the topmost bliss and joy. So here also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's some passages about rebuking Krishna. It's kind of a review, but this is one of the 16 sevas, the sevas of Radharani, the beautiful sevas of Radharani. This is in Antya Lila, which is so full of the Braja Ras and Braja Bhav. Chapter 7. Gopi Ganera Shuddha Prema Aishvarya Jnana Hina Premete Bartsana Kare E Tara China. The Gopi Gan, all the Gopi, groups of Gopis. Shuddha Prema Aishvarya Jnana Hina. Their braja vishuddha prema, shuddha, means complete. Their love is completely pure, full of madhurya, sweetness, intimacy, confidentiality, and sweet submission to Krishna's will and all his ambitions. And there's not a touch of aishvarya or respect or Krishna's superior. So Aishvarya Gyanhina, they have no awareness of Krishna's opulence, majesty, power. They don't know anything about it. He's just a sweet, romantic, young teenage boy, 16-year-old boy in our village, and we're 14. It's what we call puppy love. A 16-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl, Radha and Krishna. They're just village sweethearts. And they frolic and play along the Yamuna and run through the forest and sometimes lie down together and they pick fruits from the trees and Krishna feeds Radha and Radha feeds Krishna and Krishna picks flowers and runs off. And Radharani says, "Where are you going?" "Oh, I'm going to see the cows." And he runs off and picks flowers. Sits down and he strings a garland. Then he runs back and Radharani said, "You found the cows?" "No, but I found this mala and it's very nice." And then he immediately puts it on Radharani's neck. And she feels so thrilled by that loving expression. Well, this way, they're so intimate, so sweet, so loving, so childlike, innocent, pure, and happy. No envy, no greed, no lust, no anger, no hatred, no resentment. Love me today, resent me tomorrow. It's not the material world. So the gopis, obsessed with love, without knowledge of opulences, the gopis sometimes chastise Krishna. That is a symptom of their pure ecstatic love. Bartsana. Bart, this is Bengali. Bart, it even sounds like Bartsana. Bartsana means chastise. They chastise Krishna, and that's the seva we're talking about, rebuking Krishna. Upalamba. Ujjval Nilamani. And in Sanskrit he says, Saki Upalamba. So here we just heard how, we heard yesterday how Krishna got scolded and criticized by Lalita, and today we heard how Radharani got scolded for her submission and respectful, loving, not loving, but respectful, friendly dealings to the enemy party. So this is, it's a symptom of their ecstatic love. It's a chinna. Chinna means a sign, like charan chinna. Chinna means a mark or a sign on the bottom of the feet of Krishna. Charan chinna. There's 19 marks on Krishna's feet and Radha's feet. Obsessed with pure love, the gopis sometimes chant. So it's all love-based. Love-based. The foundation of their criticism is love. I love you, so I'm criticizing you for your happiness. Patisutanvaya bratir bandavan ativalingya ten yachatagata gativirastavogita mohita kitava yoshita kastyaja nishi kitava. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's from the 1031, so that means it's 1031:16, it's Gopi Gita. Patisutanvaya Bratri Bandavan Ativalingyatin Yachutagata Gatividas Tavod Gita Mohita Kitava Yoshita Kastya Jan Nishi. Nishikal in the dead of night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night. What happens? The gopis speak to Krishna. In Gopi Gita, verse 16, 1031, they say, O Priyatam, we gopis have neglected the order of our husbands, sons, family, brothers, and friends. In other words, their husband said, don't go. Our son said, Mommy, where are you going? Don't go. Our family members say, you can't go. And our brothers say, why are you going? What is this? And our friends, hey, you're my friend. How can you go? We neglected all their orders and we left all their association. We've run here to you on the banks of the Yamuna under the Kadamba tree. You know everything about the purity of our desires. We have come to you only because we are attracted by the supreme music of your Bansurigan. But you are a Kitava, you are a great cheater. For who else would give up the company of young girls like us in the dead of night? You're a cheater. You call us here and then you dump us and leave us and abandon us in the middle of the night. We're abala. Gopis are described in Sanskrit as abala. Abala means abal. Women are weak, men are strong. So the word to describe women is abala. Men is bala, balaram. So the abala, I mean, they're strong in love, of course, but physically, generally, the woman is weaker than the man. So we're abala, we're just weak, defenseless little girls, 14 years old, 13, 14, and here we are in the forest at midnight with bears and tigers and cobras and scorpions, and you run away from us. You're a cheater. So this is an example of their criticizing him. You're calling God a Kapat, Kitava in Bengali, Kitava, Kapat, you cheater! It's the other way around. We're cheating God. In this world, everyone's cheating God. We're taking so many things from God. Everything we're taking, the air, the water, the food, the clothing, the cotton, the silk, the cloth, everything we have is we're stealing and taking from God, and we show no gratitude, we don't offer anything to Him, we don't think of Him, remember Him. So we're cheaters, we're cheating. We're stealing all His things without even saying thank you. But there, God is being called the cheater. So this is at the Rasa dance, and Mahaprabhu is describing, now it's chapter 17 of Manti Lila, he's describing how the gopis at the Rasa dance, because of this, what I just cited from earlier chapters, also Rasa dance, Gopi Geet, chapter 31. So this is, that was Sanskrit directly from the Bhagavatam. But here, in this Anti Lila 17 and the Gambira Lila, Lord Chaitanya has become Bhavavesh, Gopi Bhavavesh, Gopi Bhavavesh. And of course, in Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, we are supposed to, Avesh, we are supposed to enter the mood of Gopi Bhav. What is their mood, their feelings, by hearing about them, reading about them? We have this phrase, developing Gopi Bhav. That means entering into Gopi Bhavavesh. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's at the highest level. He's a gopi. He's in Radharani and Radhabhav. So he's fully ensconced in Gopi Bhav. So it says, Haila Gopi, this is chapter 17, verse 33 to 38. Haila Gopi Bhavavesha Kaila Rasa Pravesha Krishnara Shuni Upeksha Vachana Krishnara Mukahasyavani Tyagetaha Satyamani Roshe Krishna Dena Olahana Olahana. The word Olahana is like we say in Sanskrit Upabana. Upabana means chastisement. Here it's olahana, alohana, olahana, chastisement, very similar. Mahaprabhu said, when the gopis entered the rasa dance, mandala, they were in ecstasy. Haila gopi bhavavesh, rasa paravesh. Pravesh means, avesh means absorbed in, enveloped in, covered by. And pravesh means to enter into. Griha Pravesh, Mandir Pravesh. So going into the Mandir. Griha Pravesh is a ceremony of entering into a new home. So they were, Gopi Bhavavesh, they were absorbed in Bhav. And their Gopi Bhav, Madanakya Mahabhav. And then they entered the Rasa dance and that mood of elation and happiness and anticipation and eagerness to serve and please Krishna with the greatest enthusiasm, the topmost surrender and submission. That was their wonderful purity of their hearts and minds when the gopis entered the rasa dance. And what did they find there? The gopis entered the arena of the rasa dance in ecstasy. That's how Prabhupada translates it. They entered I only wear this because the flies are too much. Otherwise it's rather hot. I know, but in this particular venue, this is either there's too much air conditioning or there's too many flies. So then it's practical. Otherwise, you have to go like this all the time with a fly, a fan or something. The gopis entered the arena of the rasa dance in ecstasy. But then what? Their big smile on their face became, whoa. They were like this, like Greek tragedy, one mask has a smiling, ridiculously laughing and smiling figure in Greek tragedy or Greek drama. And the other guy, one guy's smiling, the other guy's frowning. So this is the duality of the material world, happiness, sukh and dukh, happiness and sadness. So the gopis are elated, joyful, blissful. They're in bhav, smiling and shining in anticipation, radiant with loving sentiments. And then they get there, and what do they find? Negligence. After hearing Krishna's words of negligence and detachment, oh, swagatam, gopiyong. Welcome, gopis. What may I do for you? Why have you come here? Perchance, have you come to see the full moon shining on the Yamuna in the middle of the night, looking so attractive? Have you come to smell the night-blooming jasmines or the malati flowers? Why have you come? Perhaps there is some disturbance at home and you wanted to go for a refreshing walk in the forest. For what reason have you come here? And when I look at him, what is he taught? What is this? He plays the Murali. He's Murali Manohar. His Murali, our minds, his Har. Har Har Krishna. We have Har Har Mahadev. So his Murali, our minds, his Har. Har means theft. He played the Murali, stole our minds, Manohar, and now he's saying, he stole our minds. So wherever your mind goes, your body goes. That's pretty obvious. If your mind is telling you, I want to go eat some Mahaprasadam, then your body goes to the Mahaprasadam counter to buy some Mahaprasadam. So he stole their minds and their bodies obviously went. So they heard his words of neglect and they understood he was going to renounce them. So when they understood that, then they, Roje Krishna Dena Olana. That's great. Krishna Mukha Hasya Vani. Krishna Mukha Hasya Vani. Tyage Taha Satyamani. Chasi. Satyamani. Taking as a fact. From Krishna's face, he was smiling and laughing, hasyavani. He was laughingly speaking and indicating that he was going to tyag. Krishna has now become a tyagi. Krishna has sadaishvarya purna. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashatriya. It's described as the six opulences of Krishna, the gun, six qualities. He's Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Vira. He's very powerful and strong. He's very Shri, very beautiful. And he's detached. Detachment, Vairagya, Tyag. He's detached. So the Ras Lila, there are 16,000 beautiful girls falling at his feet, waiting to serve him. Most beautiful, seductive, and attractive women and young ladies in the entire universe. The lovely coward dances a brush. He says, oh, okay, I'm going, bye. And he just walks away. And they're like, huh? And before he could walk away, they wanted to give him a piece of their minds. So he said, wait a minute, young man, young dashing dear Lalita Nayak. We have a few words to say to you. And so understanding, he's Krishna Mukha Hasya Vani. Now this is Mahaprabhu speaking and Mahabhava Radharani. He's there, he's seeing it, he's Gopi Bhava Vesh, he's totally entered into Gopi Bhava, Madanakya Mahabhava. And he's telling us like it is, eyewitness news. He's there, he's Radharani. He's Radharani because he's in Radha Bhava. And from his mukh, from his mouth, he's telling what Krishna was thinking, how he's showing us exactly what the scene is, which in the Bhagavatam, you don't get these fine details. So this particular section here of Mahaprabhu speaking Anti Leela is a commentary on Ras Leela by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when someone gives, if they're very smart, when they give classes on the Ras Leela, if they do, or 10th canto, they include the commentaries of Sanatana Goswami and Jiva Goswami, Vishnu Chakravarti, maybe Vallabha, and so many other acharyas, 11 acharyas have given commentaries, Sridhar Swami, of course, Vishnu Chakravarti. And then they may include, of course, Prabhupada, or Srila Prabhupada's commentaries on the Rasa Leela are also there. They're contained in the Krishna book. And then this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's commentaries on the Rasa Leela verses that are contained in Nati Leela. So it gives a very rich presentation of the understanding and communication of the look of Krishna and how he looked, and because this isn't indicated when he was speaking. Krishna Mukha Hasyavani. Tyage taha satyamani. Of course, everyone knows Krishna left the gopis and they went searching for him and went mad and they became like Krishna. But he was his hasyavani, his words, he was laughingly speaking to them. So Prabhupada translates Krishna's words, Krishna shuni upeksha vachana. Upeksha vachana. The two phrases used to describe Krishna's speech to the gopis when he greeted them there on the banks of the Yamuna in the beginning of the Rasa dance in chapter 29. Lord Chaitanya says, Krishna upeksha vachana and hasya vani. So Prabhupada translates upeksha vachana as words of negligence. And hasyavani means funny words, speaking funny words. You're getting a shower for free. There's two, Radharani's trying to say, it's time to sit straight. We wanted to do that for the whole month, and I told him a few days ago, don't turn on because the ladies lean back, there is their backrest. It's part of his thing, you know, he's the gardener also, and he maintains all this. And we got it all set up, and we put in a new drain in the back so it doesn't come on you and stuff like that. Maybe a little bit, but most of it, you'll get something, but it goes there. It won't go here. It won't go this direction. Usually people sit over here. So we had to put in a new drain pipe there, and we made a whole new system. So he did all that, so he's a little proud of it. So we started that in the beginning, and then then we had water problems, so we had no water. And then what I noticed is the devotees, the Vaishnavis, want to lean there. So I told them, a higher principle is to, you know, serve the devotees, their comfort. I mean, when we get old and we need to relax, so I don't mind. It's my greatest joy to serve you. But I told him not to turn it on. And he does have a tendency, as most servants do in India, to do their thing and not your thing. So please forgive me. And if you like it, we'll have it every day. If you don't, we'll turn it off tomorrow. So at least for now, when it gets cold, we certainly won't want it. So it's actually very nice. And if you want to sleep, it helps you easier sleep, you know, which you do sometimes. Which is okay too. So now you just lean on Tulsi Stamba. I'll put a pillow there tomorrow. That doesn't really matter to me because, see, you have to draw the essence here. The essence is Vaishnav Seva. So Kata Shravan, Kata Kirtan Shravan, it's all Vaishnav Seva. You serve yourself when you do Kirtan, or when you chant, you're hearing, and others get served also, the Vaishnavas and yourself. And if you're hearing, you're getting benefit. And if any way you're serving a Vaishnava, you're getting benefit and the Vaishnava's getting benefit. So if you're giving class and some Vaishnavas come and sleep in class, that's my personal view. Some people say, oh, you're making a kata aparad, you're offending. I have a different view. I don't see it like that. I see it as Vaishnava Seva. Why are they sleeping in class? Because they got up at 2 a.m. and they chanted 16 rounds before Mangalarti. And they're starving. They're young men and women. Their metabolism is going crazy. They need something to eat. And they're hungry as anything. Now it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 to 9 o'clock. They eat. 7 hours they're up with no food. So they sleep. Okay, fine. I render some service. Good class. It's a good class if you fall asleep. That's seva. And it's a good class if you stay awake and take notes. Whenever I attend class, I always took notes from 75 until now. Because I value listening to the class, whoever gives speech, and I take notes. Because it's Kali Yuga, it's the best way to remember. So that's my personal feeling, not any particular... It's not a cute saying, it's just how I feel. Because I've given class, you know, 25 years or so in Delhi, and many people sleep. I don't say anything. And I sat there with other speakers. Hey, wake up. And they make noise like this. I don't. Everyone has a different bhav. From my realizations, I see these principles of the essence of things. so I appropriately behave, which I feel is satisfying to me, my guru, and the super soul. So I do it. And I, if you like it, nice. If you don't, radhi radhi. So this is all about chastisement and scolding, and we're over time, but we'll keep going because that's the way it's going. Because Mahaprabhu is speaking, and we don't want to stop. But actually, it's such a beautiful section. I mean, it's all about illustrating a seva in Ujjval Nilamani, the 16 sevas of the gopis. One of them is to rebuke or scold either Krishna or Radharani to make the loving pastimes flow with more variety and more ras. So we're finding further examples of that seva that's rendered and that practice of chastisement. So here they are. We heard that the gopis chastise Krishna. We heard that the gopis chastise Radha. So here is an example of the gopis chastising Krishna, which we prefer to hear about. And so they began to chastise him in anger. Roshe Krishna Dena Olana. In anger, Dena means give. They became angry and gave Krishna the sauce. Dena Olahana means upalamba. And what is the sauce that they gave him? What is the criticism they said? Nagara kaha tumi karya nishchoy, e trigati bhari ache japta yogya nari, tomara veno kahan na akarshaya. Oh, Nagar, Yashomati Nandana Brajabara Nagar. Nagar means, oh, romantic lover, oh, flirtatious young lover of the village is a Nagar. It has a specific connotation, Nagar. Nagar kahan tumi karya nishchoy. O Nagar, O lover, please answer us just one question. So this is Radharani's understanding and Radharani's tika on the rasa dance, coming from the lotus mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very intimate, very wonderful. O dear lover, O Nagar, please, can you answer one question? Who in the three worlds, Tri Jagati Bhari, Ache Jata Yogya Nari? What woman in the entire three worlds, Bhur Bhuva Swa, is not Akarshaya, Venu Akarshaya, in this universe is not attracted by the sound of your flute? Krishna's flute is so attractive that all the women in the universe. I heard an interesting point about the attraction of the flute I want to share. Because we read about this in Shastra, how Krishna goes to Govardhan, herding the cows, and he plays the flute. This is described in 10th canto. And the peacocks come down from the trees, and they gather around him, and they start dancing, and Krishna starts dancing. Then they offer him a peacock feather, and he puts it on his turban. And that's the origin of Krishna wearing a peacock feather, sometimes it's told. And in a way of musical performers, seeing them dance and fanning their tails, the male peacocks looking so attractively and going like this and dancing all around Krishna. And then Krishna started playing more music and they became more excited and more ragas, exciting ragas. And then they offered, in the way of musicians, Krishna was encouraging them to dance, and then they were dancing more enthusiastically to encourage the musician to play more euphorically. And then in praise of that musician Krishna, they offered the best thing they had, which was a peacock, more punk, peacock feather. And then to reciprocate with that love offering, Krishna fully accepted it and put it in his top knot, in his chudamani, and his chuda, and his top knot, to honor it and respect it, and to reciprocate with their love offering. So it shows by that pastime that peacocks are attracted to the flute. All right? We read about it. Maybe we never experienced it. Well, I have a friend in America. He lives in one ISKCON farm called, I think it's called Murari Sevak. Murari Sevak means serving Murari, I guess. And that's in Tennessee, or somewhere, Louisiana, or I don't know, somewhere down there in America. And there one devotee that lives there, he's an expert flute player. And he has a kutir, or cabin, up in the hills. There's some hills there on the farm. And he sits on his front porch and he plays a flute. And there's hundreds of peacocks in that farm. It's kind of a warm area. It's like Vrindavan, you know, Tennessee. It's very warm and like this type of weather, not heavy snow. And peacocks like it there. And there's hundreds of peacocks on this farm. It's very old. It was purchased in 1972 and Prabhupada went there also. And so he sits there, he plays the flute. And I haven't seen, but I just met some people yesterday we were discussing. And they said, as soon as he starts playing the flute, all the peacocks from the trees, they come down in front of, and they come in. He's sitting on the veranda, a little raised veranda like this, and like this. And it's a wooden house. And they're all sitting in front of him. They're all looking at him like totally transfixed. Then he plays more, then they open their tails. And they start dancing on all sides of the veranda, looking at him. They're just listening. So this is a human being. So that as we hear hunters play the flute and they flush the deer out of the forest, and then that's not so good what they do. But here we also read about Krishna playing his flute. It really, it's true. Peacocks love the flute playing. And when they come, they start dancing. So I was just reminded of that because the gopis are saying, what woman in the world is not attracted by your flute? Even peacocks are attracted. Krishna plays his flute as the Bhagavatam describes when he went Gochar and Leela and all the peacocks came around him. It'd be amazing. So that devotee, it's a regular thing. He plays the flute and all the peacocks, any time of the day, they come in like his friends. And he feeds them some chana or some, what do they like? Chana, I think they like chana. Parrots like hara mirch. they like green chilies. The hot chilies the parrots like too much. They nibble on them. Gives them a good throat. Hare Krishna! hot throat, I guess. Parrots are a very special bird. Most birds like to eat grains and worms and whatnot, insects. But parrots love fruits. So the Rijbasi farmers, they don't like them because they eat all the mangoes. You heard parrots, you know, they peck the mango. Everyone hear that. But they're more like fruitarian type birds. I mean, most birds eat worms and insects and grains and those type of things. But and which they do also. Parrots eat chana and they like green chilies too much. But they really like fruits. So guavas, they go crazy over guava. Guava amrud. I think it's called amrud in Hindi, is right? Guava amrud. And guava. So the guavas they like mangoes. And different, and guavas grow quite a bit in Braj, and mangoes also used to grow quite a bit. So the farmers see them, they have slingshots and they shoot them to get away, you know, jao. So they're a very special bird, and you know they sing so wonderfully, and they're so integral part of Krishna's Leela. I mean, we have alarm clocks, we don't have alarm clocks, or my generation had alarm clocks. We have cell phones with an alarm to wake us up in the morning. But Krishna has parrots. He has parrots and pigeons and monkeys, all kinds of people, all kinds of alarm clocks. He has a monkey alarm clock named Kakati. He has three or four. He has so many snooze alarms. Like we have a snooze alarm. We hit the alarm goes off, then we hit it, snooze, and go back 10 minutes and 10 minutes, and it goes on and on. But and everyone knows that Leela. But in Krishna's Leela, you know, first one alarm clock goes off, you know, a parrot, and then 10 minutes later, he hit that snooze alarm, then 10 minutes later, another parrot, then 10 minutes later, another parrot, and then 10 minutes later, then the rooster goes, and then after the rooster, then the pigeons go. Then so Krishna has so many snooze alarms. I mean, snooze alarms is not new, it started with Krishna. We have mobile phones with, you know what, you know, snooze alarm, yeah, you know? So, who doesn't know? So Krishna, it all started, but his is not a mobile phone making noise, it's birds. So this bird, and that bird, and this bird, and that bird. Then finally, he has one special alarm clock. He has two or three alarm clocks. In the old days, people used to put one alarm clock near their pillow and one on the table. So one goes off on the pillow, and then 10 minutes later, so you have to get out of the bed and turn off the alarm clock. So the final alarm clock, which wakes Krishna up, is not a sweet singing bird or not a rooster. Rooster is a terrible snooze alarm. You know, a male chicken. Whatever, you know, it's like. When Radharani hears that rooster alarm clock of Krishna, she says, "Oh, rooster, why don't you go coo in hell?" She says, "Why don't you go make your song and go to hell and make your song?" Then he becomes quiet because he understood what Radharani said. And then Radharani said, "Oh, good, he went to hell." Then she nuzzles up, whatever it is, closer to Krishna, and then relaxes and slips off into slumber again. And then finally, the atom bomb alarm clock comes. And what is it? It's not a bird, it's not even a terrible sounding rooster, it's a monkey. And whose monkey is it? It's your monkey. No. Whose monkey is it? It's Radharani's monkey. Is it a young, healthy, good-looking monkey? Right? Have you ever seen a good-looking monkey? No. Is it a young, healthy monkey? No. It's like an old swami. You know, all wrinkled and like that. So it's an old monkey. And her name, it's a female, it's Radharani's pet. Pet monkey of Radharani. Her name is Kakati. Kakati! And even that name sounds old. You know, all gutturals. Ka, 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 ti. Ka, ka. Sounds like German, no? German has so many gutturals. Like, ka, 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 ka. So it's like, ka, ka, ti, you know. So then, what does old Kakati do? She screeches out the top of her old withered lungs. You know, when old ladies, they have such screechy voices, you know. That when they're young, they say, "Oh, hi," you know. This and that. But when the lady's like 90, she goes, "It's so sunny." It's like, wow, the voice is like, this is the same lady that was seducing boys when she was young. And now she's 90 years old, and it's like, oh, grandma. So you can imagine this old monkey, Kakati. So what does she do to wake up? This is the atom bomb alarm clock that actually works and gets, after so many snooze alarms went off, this parrot and this rooster and this pigeon and this coquille, and they're all these alarm clocks failed. Krishna just said, "Shut, shut, 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 shut." Then finally, Vrindadevi brought out the ultimate alarm clock, Kakati. And what did she do? She screeched out in her loud, old, wrinkled, withered monkey voice, "Jatila is coming!" Oh, no! Jatila! This is the mother, and this is the notorious, suspicious, unpredictable, angry mother-in-law of Radharani. As soon as the gopis, they jumped out of bed like it turned into an electric chair. They just jumped out. So this is how Krishna wakes up in the morning. So this is the amazing effect of sound vibration. So the gopis are saying that your flute attracts all the women in the three universes. Kaila jagate venu dvani siddha mantra yogini duti hana mohe nariman mahotkanta badana aryapata chadana anitomaya kare samarpan. Krishna, when you play your flute, the vibration acts like a yogini messenger. A tantric yogini duti, perfect in the art of chanting mantras. Siddha mantra yogini. It's a yogini. It's a female yogi, a yogini who has siddhi and mantras. That's Kakati. And you heard what she said? Jatila's coming. The messenger enchants all the women in the universe and attracts them to you. Then she increases their great anxiety and induces them to give up their regulative principle of obeying superiors. Finally, she forcibly brings them to you to surrender an amorous love. Anyways, the whole thing out, they're saying, give up your clever tricks, you're killing us. So it's just an example of Krishna's chastisement, but actually there's so much more going on there, which is not exactly on the point. So that's the conclusion of our discussion of the beautiful sevas, the glorious seva of Srimati Radharani for today. We're just finishing that seva of scolding and rebuking Krishna. And by the grace of Radha and Krishna and Gurudev, tomorrow we'll talk about revealing the feelings, that the gopis are expert in revealing the feelings of Radharani to Krishna and Krishna to Radharani. So we'll hear that tomorrow. Radhe, Radhe.